Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's getting cold out, right? Weather's changing, and we're now, fall is upon us. And so I actually love the fall. It's the most beautiful time of the year, and you can see God's glory around us with the colors and the changing of the leaves and all the things that are going on. So it's a beautiful time of year, and the heat of the summer, the oppressive heat this past summer, and rain is now past us. This is the third in a series of lessons that I've put together. The first it's about a Christian and things that we have to deal with. Christian and his brother, which was my first lesson. Christian and his neighbor. Christian, this one is the Christian and the church. And I wanted to talk about this. The last one will be the Christian in the world next week. So I hope you'll join me for that one. But I wanted to talk a little more about our roles as Christians, who we are, and how we interface with all the things around us, whether it be our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be someone that we know, a neighbor, or whether it be, you know, the church. And we'll talk about what the church is here in a moment. You know, I talk to a lot of people about church, you know, what they think. Sometimes I just want to get their opinion. And, you know, whether it be to invite them here or whether it just to be to find out what do they believe. And, you know, to understand their views on some things, it's interesting, some of the things that they say. Some things I've heard are things such as, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Have you heard that? Many of you have heard that before, right? Right? I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Okay? We've all heard that one before. Sometimes we hear, well, you know what? I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm a good person. So, you know, and I believe in God, so I'm okay. I think I'm okay. We heard that before as well. So it gets me to thinking sometimes, well, you know, and I have, of course, a response for all of those types of scenarios. And usually, you know, I leave them with a question in their mind of whether or not their thinking is correct. Because what you want to do as Christians is you want to ask questions. That's what Jesus did. He asked questions. You don't judge. You don't say overt statements that can be argued with. You simply ask a question, gee, really? You're spiritual but not religious. How does that work exactly? You know? You want to ask those questions because you want to get the person thinking about their relationship with God. That's ultimately what we're here for. It's our relationship with God. So it also means that we sometimes have to look in the mirror and analyze ourselves. What do we think of the church? Individually, I mean each one of us. What do we think of the church? We come here every Sunday, some Wednesday nights, go to Bible studies on occasion. But what do we really think about the church? Do you feel it's unimportant that you just show up, maybe come get your ticket punched? Yeah, I went to church. Nah, you come to worship God. That's what most of us are here for. We come to worship God. Also, is it something you can take or leave? Is it okay just not to worship God, not to come to church because there are people that may be there that we don't particularly care for? Is that a good enough reason is the question we should be asking ourselves. And probably it's not a very good reason. And, you know, is it just another denomination to come to the churches of Christ? Why do we believe what we believe as a church? Where do we get our beliefs from? Well, we get them from the scriptures. The Bible is all God's given us. That's what we have to work with. Therefore, it's probably a good idea to stick with what's in it. Not go beyond. Yes, we can be very zealous about our worship, but if we go beyond what is required, if you remember what happened to Moses, right? Why did Moses couldn't enter the promised land? Because of what he did. He violated God's law. He got a little bit too comfortable, if you will. Okay? It's Numbers chapter 20. So, what should be my relationship to the church? This is a question I ask myself. I think we should all be asking ourselves that question. What is our relationship to the church? Well, before we can answer some of these questions, let's look at what is the church? How do you define the church? What is the Lord's church? Well, we know from Scripture, Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22, and Romans 12:4 through 5, that the church is his body. If you read those passages, you can see the Apostle Paul making that correlation, that the church is his body. In other passages, you'll find that the church is also referred to as the kingdom. When John the Baptist, born 6 months ahead of Jesus, finally came through, and when he started his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," he said. The kingdom of heaven. If you roll back a little bit and you look at Daniel's story, when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, if you study that intently, you'll find that the kingdom that they're talking about there is church. So the church is his body. God planned it long before we, either of us, any of us, have were ever born. He planned it from the beginning, before the world was made, Ephesians 3:10 through 12. He purchased it. That is, Jesus purchased it at a great price. It was bought with his blood. So therefore, the church should probably have, if you buy something, it has, when you buy a car or you buy a house or you buy anything that has some sort of title to it, whose name is on it? Your name. Why shouldn't the church have Jesus' name on it? It should, shouldn't it? Or God's name, because we know Jesus is God, John 1:1. He was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that he purchased it at a great price, Ephesians 5:25 and Acts 20:28. It cost Jesus his life to establish his kingdom. He purchased it. It has an exalted head over it. That's who Jesus is. He is the exalted head. He is the head of the church, going back to those other passages that I mentioned. He is the head of the church, and no man on earth can claim to be the head over the church that Christ built. Now, you look at all of these different kinds of churches to pick from in the world today. It's a variety. Why do people pick the churches that they go to? They usually pick them because of some interpersonal reason, some favorite reason that they have. They like the people. Oh, they like the music. Maybe the church feeds them well on Fifth Sunday fellowships or every Sunday. There's lots of different reasons why. Maybe they have a good children's program. But the church, as created by Jesus, the exalted head that he paid for, he outlined, and we can see in the book of conversions and also in the book of Acts and also in the letters to the churches of what the church was really like back in the day, as it were. We can see what it was like. And so it would be a good idea to probably emulate what they did. Right? Doesn't mean that we can't have some creativity and do some things, but we have to stay close to the essentials. We have to pray. We have to sing praises to him. Remember why we are here. We are here for him, not for ourselves. Yes, we do get something out of the deal, too. We get edified. We get encouraged. We learn something. But we're here to worship God. That's what the church is about. It is made up of a redeemed people. Who are the redeemed people? Those people that did what the first century Christians did in order to sign that contract with God for redemption. Those who obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now, how do you obey a fact of history? Well, that's easy to determine. If you look at what they did in the book of conversions, that is the book of Acts, well, then you do the same thing. You obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now you are redeemed. Now the blood of Jesus washes over us, keeping us cleansed all the time. Yes, we are fallible people. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do a lot of things wrong. You know, I was reading the other day, there's a book out about this, actually, where it is said that the average person commits 3 felonies a day. Some of you might have heard of that. The average person commits 3 felonies a day, not even knowing that they're doing it. Well, we commit sins every day, not even knowing that we're doing it. That happens all the time. But you know what? We're redeemed people, so the blood of Jesus washes over us, keeps us cleansed, so that if anything should happen, if our time should come, then our time comes and we get to go be with him. Finally, the church is the body of people the Lord will return for someday. You know, the scriptures talk about the body being the bride of Christ. You know, we all play a part in his body. We all have unique talents and skills and abilities to be able to support and edify and build up Christ's body on this earth. But he's going to come back one day, and he's going to redeem his people. He's going to take us with. All will be raised, some to life, some to eternal condemnation. So the church is a unique entity upon this earth, and it will be here long after we are all long gone. It has been here for some 2,000 years already, and there have been many forces that attempted to stamp it out. Many forces have tried to corrupt the body of Christ. That's why we have all these denominations today. It's because there are people that are out there that really are bad people. They don't have a respect for God. Can you believe that? There are people out there like that. And so that's what happens. They create their own little thing, and you know what? It's usually about the money. It's about seizing upon the infirmities of people, psychological or otherwise, and taking their money to enrich oneself. It's a sad thing. But you know what? That's not us. That's not us. We know better. We can see through that and see that it's all about really taking care of one another. You know what? I would esteem you higher than myself. If you need something, I'm obliged to give it to you. You need help, I should be available to help you. Likewise, that should be something that we all should have towards one another. Now, let's talk a little bit about what the church isn't. Because some people think that the church is this entity that, or this building that people go to. It's not the building. Church never was the building. I think we all know that. The church is you and I. It's the people. Church is not a social club. People look at going to church so that they can get their fix of socialization. It's not a spectator group. They come here and, you know, they mingle a little bit, and then they go and do their thing throughout the week. That's not what the church is about. It's not a place for entertainment. You know, one of the first things people ask about when they come to Churches of Christ is they come in and they say, where's the band? Where's the entertainment? Where's the choir group? Well, you're looking at us. It's a unique characteristic of the church. So people who come for entertainment are coming for what? Themselves. That's the difference. They're not coming to worship God. They're coming for themselves because they want to be entertained. There are people like that. And I'm sure that some of you have met them. It's not an activity center. They want to come and they want to participate in a lot of different things. Now, should we have activities? Absolutely. We should do more to reach out to the world, to bring them in, so let them know and feel the love that we share amongst one another. But it's not about the activities. The activities is just a small piece of something that we do in the edification and in the solicitation of the world into Christ's fold. But the church itself is not just an activity center, some place to come and find things to do. And it's never, and this is a big one, It's never about a single person. You know, we live in a society that is hierarchically based, meaning that, you know, we have, everyone has, if you got a job, you got a boss who has a boss who has a boss. We live in a society that says that there's someone that has a position socially above us in some way. And that's something that's a different lesson to talk about, because Christ's children are about servanthood. It's about me serving you, about you serving another, and that's how things get done. That's how needs get satisfied. It's not about someone dictating to someone else about how to accomplish something. But it's never about a single person. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes you can have people that can, preachers, for example. I'm a preacher, okay? If I sound good to you, you could come to admire me. But you know what? That could become a problem. It become a problem because you're looking at the man. You're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about Jesus. I'm nobody. No preacher, no elder, deacon, or any leader in the church is relevant when it comes to the church and worshiping God. It's never about the man. It's not about a single person. It's not even about somebody you don't like. You know, people make the mistake of offending others. That happens sometimes. But it's not about them. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's about worshiping our Father in heaven. And I talked about the issues that we can run into when it comes to offenses, what we should do. I talked about that in my first lesson. Well, that's what we should do. Open communications is what it's all about. So that's what the church is not. Now, what should be our relationship to the church? What should our relationship be to the church? Well, remember that Christ is the head. It's all about him. It's all about worshiping Jesus, our Lord and Savior in heaven, our God, Father. Okay? It's all about studying, about prayer, building up that relationship, developing it so that we come to trust him in our day-to-day walk. We are all members, respectively, brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ is the head. We are all equal spiritual members, whether male or female. Spiritually, we're all the same in his eyes. We may have different roles. Of course we have different roles, but we're all the same in his eyes spiritually. We are responsible and accountable to one another. You know, that's something that in my lesson next week, the world doesn't have. There's no responsibility or accountability towards anyone. But we have a responsibility and accountability towards each other. If I do something or say something or otherwise do something that is not Christian-like, God-like, holy, then you can call me to the carpet on it. And say, well, brother, you know, God says, and I have to abide by that if I truly love God. If I truly want to call myself a Christian, we all have to do that. So there's accountability and a responsibility. If I see my brother needing bread, do I give him a stone and say, go, be well fed, and rejoice? No. I need to feed him. I need to take care of my brother or my sister. That's why we pray for each one another. We are a fellowship through whom God can work. You know, it's amazing to me how God takes the smallest thing, the smallest, the littlest of people, and then he works big things out of them. We see that throughout the Old Testament, where he takes people that are really insignificant in the scope of the social picture, but then he does wonderful things with them, makes them significant. And this is so that he can be glorified. And that's what he wants to do with us. Work through us that he may be glorified. It's a pretty awesome thing. That is the relationship that a Christian should have towards the church. We want to work for God, live for him, And all the other things that we want in life will come to us. They'll come. We just have to be patient. We can often be impatient about things. I know I can. There's a lot of things I want, like right now. But I can't have them. And if you push too hard, oh yeah, you might get it, but then you might regret getting it. We've seen that happen as well. So, we are a fellowship through whom God can work, Deuteronomy 2:7, Psalms 90:17, and also through whom God can be glorified, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, Acts 11:18, and Romans 8:17. Now, what is a proper view of the church? How should we view the church? We should view the church in a way that is positive, in a way that helps us, that keeps us, our minds, in such a way that we can benefit from it and benefit others. We got to put the church first. I can tell you right now, if I had a choice, I got some family members. This is a little bit of a personal story. I have some family members that are not very good people. And I would put my life down for any one of you before I would for them. And they're a blood relative. Think about that for a minute. If you got a family that you know are no good, would you place them above a brother or sister in Christ? It's an interesting question. They say, what, blood is thicker than water, right? Well, whose blood? Jesus' blood? Or the blood running through your veins on this earth? Which is more important? You're more important to me than certain relatives that I have. You are more important to me than certain relatives that I have. If you called me up and they called me up at the same time, you know who I'm going to go to? I'm going to go to you. That's a hard thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. But putting the church first is part of that bond that we share in Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so wondrous, so wonderful. And I can tell you now, those family members out that I have and that you may have, and the people in the world would never understand that. They would never get that. That would not make sense to them. Proper view of the church helps us to set our affections on things above, Colossians 3:2. Because what are we here for? This vapor of an existence, as James tells us. We're here for a short time. And we're here for the purposes of where? Getting to heaven. That's the end game right there. We just want to get to heaven. Focus on the things above, and the things below will be taken care of. Yes, we will run into challenges in life as a church. We collectively will run into challenges. We will individually run into challenges in this life. We'll have to deal with those challenges, but we got each other to lean upon. I know I can get on the phone. I can call my brother and say, I'm having a rough time of it today. These people are getting on my nerves, and you know what? I slipped and sinned by saying some things that I shouldn't have said. Will you pray with me, brother? And you know what? He'll say, yes. Brother, let's pray about that. And don't do it again. Look, protect your space. Right? That's just life. Helps us to be submissive to the Lord. Being submissive to the Lord is something that can slip by if we're not careful. What does that mean, being submissive to the Lord? Doing what he says. It's quite that simple. But you know what? We can become complacent. What happens when things start going really, really well? Things start going really, really well. We forget about God. We forget about the Lord. Things are going well. We start getting a little bit haughty and start thinking that we are accomplishing it on our own, forgetting that he is the one who blessed us. Being submissive to the Lord is remembering that all blessings come from him. And praying and thanking him for those blessings and maybe even sharing those blessings amongst the brotherhood. Doing God's work correctly includes the matter of worship, making sure that in our zeal that we don't go too far, that we don't get the band and it turns into an entertainment center, that we don't end up having things involved in our worship, both personal and corporately, that should not be. That is a proper view of the church. Two more slides here, and then this lesson will be yours. An incorrect view of the church is simply this. It leads us to have an incorrect and unloving, unholy, and attitudes towards one another. We start people, and I'm gonna give you this, because I think you'll understand this. People are, in general, I'm saying generally, people are inherently selfish. You believe that? People are inherently selfish. Guarantee you that you do not have a friend or someone you know or someone that you spend time with that you don't spend time with them for a reason. Let that sink in for a minute. And that brings us to an attitude of where we could end up being so selfish that we forget about the needs of one another, that we forget about caring about one another. That's an incorrect view of the church. It can cause a person to try and make the church something it was never intended to be. I've covered that, you know, bringing in things that are not part of the worship service. It can corrupt the purpose of worship. It can have no desire for godly relationships with other members. Sometimes those relationships out in the world are more desirable than the ones in the church. So, you know, we have to be mindful of that. Hey, let me tell you a secret, and this is something that you probably already knew. Sin is pleasurable. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. Let that sink in. You think sin is bad? Yes, it is. Of course, God tells us so. But Satan would tell you that sin is pleasurable. Because it is. And that is what trips you up. And that's what can cause problems in your spiritual development and in your spiritual life. Lastly, strength is in the numbers. You know, let us build each other up. That's what we need to do. You know what? I need to tell my brother and my sister how much I love them, give them a call, see how they're doing, check in on them, you know, maybe break bread with them on occasion. You know, I am making my rounds, by the way, for my first lesson. I was talking about calling everybody. I'm trying to make my rounds and call everybody. Okay? I haven't gotten to some of you, but don't worry, I will get to you. I hope to get some calls from you too as well, just to say hi. Hey, what's going on, Brother Clark? Hey, Richard, what's going on? How you doing? That's nice to hear. I reached out to Lynette in email. How's my sister doing? She just got back from surgery. Everything went well, right? Just want to touch base with my sister and make sure she was all right. And I'll do that for any of you. But we need to build each other up so the church can become stronger. The stronger we are together, the better we can deal with matters of the world. Be grateful for our church family. Let's be grateful for one another, for the people that we share a common bond in Christ, and show it through the building of better relationships. Let's do the work of God by letting God work through us. Let's take that time, spend that time in study and prayer. Every morning, I can tell you, if you get into the habit of waking up in the morning, and then before you even get out of bed, you just say a quick prayer. The Lord, help me to get through the day. Thank you for allowing me to awaken with the use of my faculty and limbs. Allow me to get up today and accomplish something for you. That's my prayer in the mornings. Simple. Maybe read a little bit, find a passage, read a little something. Say, okay. And then maybe try to put it into practice. That helps you by letting God work through you. then glorify him so that we may be glorified. Thanking him for these beautiful days that we're getting. They're awesome days to get up and to have the use of our faculties and our limbs to be able to go out and spend time. You know, sometimes me and Anita would just go on a drive just to go on a drive and enjoy and appreciate what God has made. That's your lesson today. Real simple. Let's be a family. That's what the church is about. And we are a family. We are a family. A loving family. And we should strive every day to be that for one another. If you have a request, by the way, you are doing okay, right?
Yeah, well, okay.
But she's fine, right? Okay. Keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in prayer here. There's some that are in need of prayers that have not spoken up, but just pray for all of them. God knows those that are in need. And if you have a need at any time, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?